Good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. It's good to be with you. I'm doing well, thank you. It is a lovely day in Bloomington, and as you said, we're getting ready for a pretty busy weekend.
Holy
coming up
too. Cow. We haven't had a lot of, and we talk every Tuesday for the most part. There's just not a lot of downtime anymore. A week here, a week there, but we always have things going on. And when I talked to you last Tuesday, you were getting me ready for this busy week of budgets, which we will get to yesterday, today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Those talks will be happening. And we talked about the forecast roasting up and getting hot late last week. But the show must go on. The show did go on. Molly Tuttle, Golden Highway, Grammy Award winners. Well, it was toasty, but not as hot as it was Friday, so we got a little lucky. What a turnout I saw. I talked to a couple people that were there. Said, yeah, it was hot, but you know what? The music was hotter.
I didn't get to go myself either, but I did talk to also some people who were there who said it was a great time, and she wowed the crowd. It was a big crowd. I don't know, 2,000 or more people, so another. We're really happy that, you know, that trio of concerts that we did with Downtown Bloomington, they helped sponsor and pull it all together, was great. And I actually, you know, we did a Molly Tuttle Day. I gave her a proclamation.
I heard that. Crystal told me
about
that.
Yeah, because she was from our sibling city, Palo Alto, which I didn't, I just happened to look it up. I'm like, who is this Molly Tuttle? Do I want to, and I looked it up and I said, wait a minute, she graduated from Palo Alto High School. So she said it was the first time somebody had done that for her on a tour. She was moved. I think she enjoyed it. She held it up and did some promo with it. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. And Crystal did a great job. And then Molly wowed the crowd. So that's what parks are for, right?
That is what they're for. And parking and the beer garden and food trucks and everything seemed to be a great time, and it's a great – I don't want to call it an experiment because you didn't want to call it an experiment. I understand where we're going there, but, boy, if this doesn't lay a foundation for the next summers to come, I'm not sure what could have.
Yeah, I think it's – you know, it's like learning how to use a new space, and you try different things out, and it is – you know, it's partly us, but it's also partly sponsors like DBI say, hey, did this do what we wanted? Did it – work for us? And we're talking to some people who are thinking about big weekend concert where you'd actually kind of rent the whole thing out to do a really big show with some big acts and have both two stages going, and you know, so people were just gonna try it on, see what works. In the meantime, you know, enjoy it, bring your dog, bring come to the splash pad, go skateboarding, pickleballing, whatever you like.
What, 57 acres, right? Is it 57? Yeah. There's a lot of room there for everybody.
There is. Yeah.
From Country Club Drive all the way. Well, the trail takes you in from Country Club all the way to Grimes. And
well, you know, you mentioned the budget. I know we'll get to that. But one of the things I did at the beginning of the budget talk I gave last night presenting the budget was remembering where we were in 2016. And one of the things I said was Switchyard was an empty rail yard, you know, back in 2016, and now look at it. It's pretty cool.
Absolutely. That space, the use for it, and the accessibility, being able to get to it from both sides, Walnut on the east side. And Rogers on that side, then Grimes, and the downtown, the spur into downtown as well. Yeah, it has been nothing short of fantastic. I just wish Molly had this Thursday's weather instead of last Thursday's weather, because then you would have probably doubled the crowd. But you know what? We can only control what's controllable, and having these acts brought in all summer to even allow people to dream and think about, you know, like you said, weekend festivals or whatever, lineups or things like that. Very, very cool. It sounds like a great review from all that were there. That is fantastic. The splash pad stays on through Memorial. Why do I always call it Memorial Day? I have it written on my calendar. I'm staring at it. We know Bryant Park Pool is going to be open for the last time on Monday, Labor Day, the 4th. Same thing for the splash pad, or does that run a little
longer? I don't know, Mike. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to check online. I'll see if I can figure that out. But
we don't worry about that, but I will have, because I would think that would go, because it doesn't need a lifeguard. That's why the pool's closed. It's a labor deal. It's more than anything else. So until the winterization of the parks happens, you might be able to splash pad it a little bit. So there's always some place to go to have some fun, and it's all free at the splash pad at Switzerland Park.
There you go.
All right, you're on stage last night. How many departments do we have in the city? 16 total?
16 departments.
All right, we need you to name them all in alphabetical order.
I could probably get through them. I'm not sure it'd be alphabetical, though.
I know you've got a very, very busy week. Well, you led off last night, and plenty of angles, ways to improve moving forward, how money is going to be spent, the total approaching $250 million. And again, this will be for 2024, and we know that your tenure will be over on the last minute seconds of 2023. Tell me about how you put together a process for a government that you won't be in charge of next year.
Not unusual, of course, in any government like that, where you have a transition year. And when I came and took office in January 1, 2016, there was a budget in place, which is kind of good because it had to start, at 1 a.m. that day. And the new mayor will spend a lot of time kind of getting familiar with what's going on and thinking about what they want to do and learning a bunch of stuff. So it's very typical and kind of good that you have a set budget that you then, before you know it, by April, March or April, you're starting to think about the next year's budget. So it's not like you don't get time to start thinking about budgets. Now, in this being my eighth and final budget, I presented last night, and I usually start with a big overview, and then each intern, we get 16 departments, plus the clerk, city clerk, and the city council have their own budgets as well. We've been developing this since April formally with the council, city council, and I really laid out where we've come from, and I'm really, really proud of the momentum of the city and the positioning of the city. We're fiscally very strong. We have accomplished a whole bunch of things and a whole bunch of momentum still going, and this budget looks at how to keep that going. And then I mentioned a few new things that are going to be in the works. And then basically, next year we'll have a brand new council. There'll be 5 new city council members out of 9, and there'll be a new mayor. They will kind of pick up the reins and execute. And then they'll start to think about, what they want to do in 2017. The next year, 2025.
Well, and it never ends. You never turn it off. It just gets done this week. Now, let's talk, before we get into the numbers, let's talk about how this week works. You were first, the leadoff hitter. Last night, we go to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Tell me how.
That's correct.
Okay.
Four.
So each night you have, 4 departments go if we break it up out of 16? I'm trying to do math again.
Trying to make it even. I don't know. Here's the way I'll remember it, is you tonight – we have public safety, police and fire, and we have the 2 big outside entities that come in. That's the transit system and the utility system. So there's 4 tonight, and they're 4 of the larger departments. The last night is all Adam Wason. It's all public works, because he's got 6 different divisions and a lot of things going on. And in between is everybody else who didn't go last night. Last night we had basically the internal departments, human resources and controller and legal and information technology and office of the mayor. So tomorrow night you'll have like housing and neighborhood development and parks and community family resources and then economic sustainable development, planning, transportation, engineering, and those kinds of folks. So it's always a show. But tonight will be transit and utilities and then police and fire.
And obviously, public safety has always been a big part of what you've concentrated on. I saw you had an interesting solution, perhaps, to not having as many uniformed officers dealing with different situations, looking in a different direction. Tell the folks who maybe weren't following last night what your overlying thought is on that.
you know, we've talked about this a lot. Every time mayors get together in the last several years, they all complain. We all complain about how we don't have enough police officers. That's trickling down a little bit to firefighters as well. And that is one fact. Another fact is I think most of us who are in this seat and communities around the country are continuing to look at how do we build the best connections between our police departments and our public as we can. We obviously, that's a really important relationship. If it goes sour, it can be really difficult, even dangerous. So how do we keep making sure that our, you know, kind of cop on this corner and the relationship between the police and the community. So with both of those things, we have continued, and our police department's been one of the leaders in the country, in the state, as well as fire department, continue to think about how do we deal with both of those. And that, for example, helped us move toward social workers in the police department, right, to say they can be really helpful in connecting with a lot of situations where police are dealing with complicated social challenges that our social work can help. It's why we brought into the fire department mobile integrated health professionals, meaning these are health professionals who will go on site to help deal with somebody who's often calling 911 to say, hey, let's help figure out how we can help them deal with their health issues. And last night I talked about a next level of that, and that was we had a group that studied the dispatch service, the 911 service, and looked at their 100,000 plus calls that we get in a year and say, all right, how can we understand these and how can we look at new ways, better ways to respond? They made a number of recommendations that I put into the budget request. Here's a couple. One, they said we should really have a nurse who can respond right there to a 911 call, because sometimes the emergency health calls can be handled by a nurse on the phone talking to somebody and saying, hey, you're hyperventilating, you know, whatever. I'm not a doctor or a nurse. But so that was one of the recommendations that I forwarded through to the budget. Another one was we respond to some calls with sworn officers, armed officers, that maybe we don't need to. And this is happening all across the country. One example is welfare checks. That's the single largest volume of calls we get. Check on what's going on with this person. I see him outside. I haven't heard from him inside. Please go find out. A lot of cities around the country are looking at using other than sworn officers to respond to some of those, and we're going to do some pilot programs to do that. One pilot with a sworn officer with more help, another pilot without sworn officers to do that, and we're bringing on some more temporary staff to help with that. So I know that's a long answer, but look, public safety is fundamental, front row of what we do here in city government. They do a great job, and we need to continue to evolve, and that's part of what happened as we explore these new ways to respond.
Interesting. And I think the question that jumps off the page for me is it appears that you have fire filled, but not all of the police positions. Why one but not the other?
Well, you're right that we just hired 21 firefighters in the last couple months. Now they go through training, so they're not all on shift duty 24 hours yet, but they'll get there in the next couple months. We have not had that same success with police officer hiring. Those facts are true in almost every city in the country. There just aren't enough people who are signing up to be police officers and going through the training. So I just read about Indianapolis. They're about 20% down from their staffing level in Indianapolis. It's true in most major cities and even small cities. I was with small cities.
Is it a salary benefit issue? What is your feeling? I know it's different from each community what you deal with or don't deal with, but I always get lost when we need more officers, but nobody wants their taxes to go up. So I don't know.
Well, it's a combination of things. I do think it's really a tough job being a police officer.
And it's not for everybody, right?
It's definitely not for everybody, and it's not gotten easier in the last few years. I think one of the things is so the pipeline of people who want to be police officers is not as robust as it was. We have fewer people responding to our openings, and that, of course, salaries affect what jobs people want or what they go into. But even as we see communities almost bidding against each other for police officers, we're really still not seeing a pipeline growth, you know, of people choosing to go into the profession. Now, to me, if I have to deal with that, it means I have to think about, well, are there other people who don't want to be a police officer necessarily, but they do want to help and be involved in public safety? And so, you know, you can even think about our after hours ambassador. He's not really a police officer, but he's involved in public safety. You can think about our community service specialists. You can think about our public our mobile integrated health providers. We just added three positions to the fire department that are going to be paramedics who can help deal with things. So we're really trying to expand the funnel for who can move into the public safety world. And look, it's an all of the above thing. It's not an either or. We're going to continue to work really hard to retain police officers. We provide very good benefits and housing benefits and others. It's a both and. It's helping make sure we attract and we have very high standards in Bloomington and retain the best police officers, as well as look at ways to get other people involved in the public safety system. Frankly, Mike, it's actually also another way why it'll be good to have a public safety headquarters next to City Hall where they can kind of be better integrated and work together to figure out how do we respond in ways. And I think you'll see a lot of continued evolution in the coming years.
Interesting, because obviously we have the IUPD. They have their cadets that graduate, but the state police is looking at them and sheriff's office. So it's just not enough pieces to go around, it sounds like.
Let me give you one other example.
Sure.
Look, I want to be clear. We absolutely need a robust and extremely well-trained and professional and sophisticated sworn police force. They're essential to our community. They do a great job here in Bloomington. I'm really proud of them, and we're going to continue to invest in them. And at the same time, we need to think about how do we help make sure they do the jobs they need to do and not have to do jobs they don't need to do. Here's an example that's always been, I can't remember if we've even talked about it, but a bugaboo for me. Under state law in Indiana, I'm not allowed in the city to have a speed camera or a red light camera. Illegal. That means the only way I can get speeders and red light runners is to have a cop out there watching for them or stopping them. In my view, that's a waste of precious resources. And I think technology, we should be allowed to use technology to say, look, if you're speeding in Bloomington, I don't need a cop car to chase you. I'm going to take a picture of you when you're speeding, and I'm going to send you a ticket. And as soon as you learn that, you're going to stop doing it. And that would help us preserve the police officers for what they really need to do in other situations where we need them.
It is interesting, and I think just like everything else, it is constantly evolving, and well, we'll see how that evolves down the road. But what we do know is, I don't want to say we're getting close, but the clock is ticking on ARPA money, right, or COVID relief funding?
Well, it is.
I know you've included that in your vision for next year as well.
So the American Rescue Plan, which is the 2021 hugely important investment from the federal government that came straight to locales and counties and communities all over the country, helped us get through the pandemic. We got $22 million back in 2021 in two pieces. I think a second year it arrived also. And we have to appropriate that money and encumber it, meaning put it under contract basically, by the end of next year. We're about halfway through, not quite, maybe, give or take. We're still doing a lot this year. And let me just say that is a rescue plan, you know. The idea is to put that money out, put it to work, help rescue us from the terrible economic downturn. And it's been really, really effective if you look kind of at a macroeconomic level. So that was part of my job last night to propose a plan for what to do with about $10 million or so that we have or that may be left over from this year and that we'll have next year for ARPA money, as we call it, American Rescue Plan Act. And then I also added, we had a termination of a kind of a special state tax district, Community Revitalization Enhancement District, CREED, it's known as, and that has that had about a $15 million cash pot that we can use to improve the city. So I took not all of that, but I'm proposing about two-thirds of it to be appropriated for next year again, also to keep moves forward. So there's a whole list of stuff. we'll be working with council on investing in sidewalks and investing in housing and investing in infrastructure and downtown revitalization and all kinds of different stuff, also using it to leverage more federal money. And that is something that we'll also be working with council to identify.
I just want people and our listeners to know, we just talked about salaries and police and everything else. Well, why don't you just take that money and move it over there? You can't.
Good question. We did use some of the ARPA money. We were allowed to use some of that ARPA money during the past year or two to supplement police and other essential workers. We used it for some bonus payments that helped get people through with inflation and all that. So we did use it, but you can't use that first. It's one-time money, so you can't really build it into your budget unless you have a way to replace it. And as you recall, last year was when we passed the local income tax, which was essential to replace those salary increases that we did use one-time money for, and we identified that in particular for police to bring them up. But you can't use one-time money for ongoing expenses. It doesn't work out very well.
No, it sure doesn't. So as we move forward, the general fund, you talked about a little bit as well, taking money out of there, but you're still in a good safety position there for a rainy day. Is that how that works?
We are. We came in, I came into office, and it was a healthy surplus, and we've kept it and grown it. We really, the state, well, really the national kind of finance gurus say a city should have 2 months of general operating expenses in your general fund account. We keep 4 months, so we're doubling that. And that is the we've always achieved that. This budget projects that as well. We actually usually exceed it by the end of the year. I think last year we ended up at 40%, not 33% of the annual cost. So that's really important. It was helpful during the downturn, and it's something that that I have done, and my predecessors have generally done, and our council has done, and I think it's a good pattern to keep up.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. Wrapping up the timeline, well, we talked about what's going to happen this week. We're going to hear from everybody. We did last night, tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday. So the city council then, obviously, like the rest of us, goes on the Labor Day holiday. City Hall will not be open doors on Monday, but the internet is always open. They digest all this information until when, Mayor Hamilton, then reconvene to do what? Do they go back and forth with the department chairs and say, hey, we need a little bit more here or less than here? Now let's make some sausage, shall we?
This is the sausage. Here we
That's
go, right?
It.
Yeah. So the hard line is 2 weeks from this Friday, so the 15th of September, is when we will publish the numbers that gets put in, literally published in a newspaper, to say these are the plan for the budget of 2024, and that locks those numbers in. So between now and then, we'll have a lot of conversations. Often the council has questions. They want to clarify this or that, or say, tell me more about this, or why are you doing that? We'll have that going back and forth over the next week, and then we'll need to kind of make some final decisions. And as you know, in Indiana law, the mayor has to propose the budget finally with a certain set of numbers for every account for plans for expenditures. We have to have a balanced budget. We can't spend more than we have and bring in. And then the council has three options. They can approve the budget. They can cut certain amounts in departments or accounts, or they can just not pass a budget. And we've always done number one, which is pass the budget, which I hope we will do again, and that will happen in kind of over the next 4 weeks after mid-September.
Well, thankfully, we get together every Tuesday, so nothing slips through the cracks, or we don't lose track of time or anything else. I know the budget is the main focus this week. It has to be because of the four straight nights. But again, we're always keeping one eye on the timeline for the convention center. We're trying to get people on committees to do that. I know you have a couple nominees that you need to present. What is your timeline for presenting those nominees?
Yeah, I think it'll be soon. I have to name a couple, and I have those conversations happening. You may find it interesting. I'm actually talking to the very, very likely next mayor because my appointments terminate in mid-January.
Yeah, yours is the first ones to expire, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I really don't want to bring people on and ask them to get to work if they're not going to be, likely kept on. And, new mayor always can do what they want. But so we're having some conversations. I think we'll get those resolved pretty quickly, and I'll be able to make some appointments. We still don't have the interlocal nailed down, which is a really important part of all this. But those conversations are going on, and we're going to keep plugging away. I believe in a great convention center. I just want to make sure it's a good one.
Well, and we've got time to get this all going on, but again, not over this weekend. I think everybody will put their feet up one final time. Then we'll get back to work on September 5th, Tuesday, and see how everything's going. And that's the next time you'll visit us. Have a great Labor Day weekend. 4th Street Fair, Ohio State's in town.
Love it.
We got high school, everything going on, and the temperature's back in the 90s, and the final weekend at the pool, so you better take advantage of it. Brian Park.
Mike, always good to talk to you. Hope everybody has a good week, and I'll see you on the other side of Labor Day.
Thank you, buddy. You enjoy it as well. John Hamilton, the mayor of the city of Bloomington, joins us every Tuesday here on WGCL.